The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Happy 4th of July weekend. Man, my favorite holiday of the year because we're upon it. Everyone's taking Friday off. I'm going to get my fireworks show ready. So if you are an enthusiast of fireworks and you happen to live on the south side of Bloomington near Bella Vista, which is where I live, right on the corner, you're going to see a spectacular display of fireworks right there in the neighborhood around 10 p.m. on Saturday night. So I know with a lot of people not able to attend a fireworks show because Lake Lemon's doing theirs now also on Saturday night, but you have to be on the boat or be a resident or a guest of a resident to be there. It's going to limit the number of people to get to see the show. You can go to Martinsville, I believe, or Lawrence County. I think there's shows there. But if you just want a good old-fashioned backyard show, just roll your car up there and enjoy it. So it's going to be a good time. I always look forward to that. My fishing trip last week, or Father's Day weekend, you know, all know I took that fishing trip to the Gulf of Mexico, and we took an RV down. I've been telling this because I know people are concerned that that's a hot spot, I guess. I haven't really followed it that closely, but for those of you that have been around me, know that I took an RV down with my son and my good friend, George. We stayed in an RV park. We get up, we go to the boat, we fish for 2 days, basically, come back to the park, stay there, come home. So that was it. So I didn't expose myself to hundreds or thousands of people on the beach that day. So let me do this. We're going to do a little news of the week brought to you by a couple people. The Like Law Group, give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at Like Law Group, 323-8300. Also, Kenny Bland Auctions. They're your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at kennyblandauctions.com. And then lastly, the sign is still in my yard. If you need a new roof, call Steve's Roofing. That's what I did. They're your local professionals. They have a high level of quality, unmatched by any of the competition, Steve's Roofing. They're your local expert in all things residential roofing. Now, my disclaimer here is that my nephew is the residential roofing sales guy, and he'll come out and give you an estimate. So I only talk about people here on the show that I think are great, okay? So I wouldn't, just because he's my nephew, I'm not going to promote him. But if they come out and do a bang-up job on my roof, which they did, and didn't rake me over the coals on price, which they didn't, then I'm going to say, yes, if you pay for the spot to be announced on the show, I'll do it. So I think they paid. It's on a little 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, which is not the official read that I normally have given. So it could have squeezed one in on me there. I'm not real sure. All right, I'm not going to do a lot of news of the week because we got so much to talk about. Rod Holloway's going to join me in just a few minutes. We're at the end of the second quarter. Unbelievable, right? Best in 20 years from a market perspective. What? Right. From 1998 until now, we've never had a quarter like we just had. And I'm going to talk with Rod about the 5 months that have shocked the world, or shook the world. It could maybe a better way to put it. Go through some of that information. And then later on, you know, the Fed creation of money during this pandemic is unbelievable. And then I'm just going to kind of give you some thoughts on where we are today. I'm like, where I think we are today as far as an economy, as people, where are we today? Because we're heading into the 4th of July weekend. This is Independence Day, baby, my favorite holiday of the year. Where are we today? So a great show. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and you'll stick around for all of it. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Hot Rod Holloway is on the phone with me now. And Rod, I was talking before you came on. We're here at the end of the second quarter. We've had 5 months that have shook the world, to say the least. It seems like, you know, in many ways, it seems like this has gone by really quickly. In other ways, it seems like it's dragged on forever. But stocks in the best quarter in decades, defying the crisis. U.S. stocks, according to the Wall Street Journal, wrapped up their best quarter in more than 20 years after a remarkable rally from the coronavirus pandemic brought businesses around the world to a standstill. Just 3 months ago, we were like looking at the end of this massive bull market we've been in, longest economic expansion on record, after a major U.S. index lost about 35% of the value. In less than 6 weeks, the subsequent rebound has nearly brought us back to even, almost, and we're still down some. Some sectors are, some aren't. But, Rod, I mean, you and I have been doing this a long time, 26 years myself, 25 for yourself. We've never seen anything like this. And in many cases, I don't even know what to say about it. And you and I, we shake our heads sometimes back there in the war room, just like, here we go again. But it is. It's been the best quarter in the last 20 years, actually 22 years, right?
Yeah, it is. I think it was the first quarter of 98. Is what they had said is the last time you saw an individual quarter with similar strong performance. It is. It has been kind of mind-boggling. It most certainly something never predicted in the early stages of the big sell-off coming out of March 23rd, which right now is the bottom, and I think it will be the bottom.
I hope so.
It's going all the way back down. Yeah, it doesn't mean there won't be any sell-offs or corrections in the future. Just don't know that any will go that deep unless something extremely bad happens. Again, let's call it a black swan event that would potentially cause that. The rapid descent, and then how quickly we came back. We had talked early on, we didn't expect a V-shaped recovery in the market. The economy and the market are different. You always have to keep those separate. Mm-hmm. We did not expect it. I wouldn't call it a full V-shaped recovery, but gosh, you're awfully close to one. I've heard some people now start to throw out a square root. It kind of looks like maybe it is, because as I've been saying on Glass's show, we look like, at least short term, we're potentially settling into maybe a trading range between 3,000 and 3,200. That 3,000 number, yeah, it's a big round hole number, but more importantly, the 200-day moving average has kind of hovered on either side of that. So on the way up, it was just a tad below, I think 29.97. Now that we have surpassed that 3,000 and been trading above it here for a few weeks, it's a little bit above the 3,000 number. The last time we bounced off of that 32, which actually we cracked 32, is like 32.33, I think, was as high as we got before we started our sell-off, went back down, touched that 3,000 area again, bounced up around 31.55, then was the area that last rally failed, went back down to that 200-day moving average. Now we bounced back up of that. With today's rally where we're at, and of course right now at the time that we're recording this, the market has not closed for the day, but the S&P's up 34 points at 31.50. So it will be interesting from a short-term technical perspective to see how we handle 31.55. Do we blow through it? If we do, then I would assume we're probably going to go back up and test that 3,200, 3,233 level. I don't really see a catalyst that necessarily breaks us through it, but at the same time, I didn't necessarily see an early catalyst that was going to rocket back to where we're at as quickly as what we have.
Well, I think one thing that you've done a great job of, and we've talked about, you have to be more surgical in this recovery. You know, if you would have owned everything, then you owned everything. But if you didn't own everything, yeah, then you probably performed pretty well. And you and I had a great conversation yesterday about some of the, you know, we're not going to mention specific names for compliance purposes, but there are certain sectors that have absolutely spanked it during this time. I mean, we're talking spanked it. I mean, whipped this thing, and that's what's helped portfolios do really well in some cases.
Well, and I think the interesting thing in that is you kind of have two groups of sectors that have really crushed it in this recovery. One from the area that was probably most hardest hit. So that's kind of that travel and leisure area, the airlines, the cruise lines, the restaurants, some of the retail, those types of things. Those have come roaring back quickly as we started the reopening phase. Those I question a little more longevity because those problems aren't fully behind them yet. Yes, it's exciting that we get to start opening up. Yes, it's exciting that especially like in the airlines, they went all the way down to about 20% of their routes, and they're now ramping them back up. Not to 100%, but they are starting to be fairly aggressive and re-adding routes, so that is moving in the right direction. But they still got a long ways to go to get to where they were before the pandemic. The other side of the things that have ripped and roared are the things that deserve to rip and roar because, number one, before the virus, they were the ones that had some of the best revenue and earnings growth going on the street. They also so happened to be in the sector of kind of the stay at home, the work from home, the cloud, the virtual aspect of things that we were starting to trend towards anyway, that just got pulled forward probably by about 3 to 5 years due to the virus and the pandemic, which then obviously just accelerated the growth pattern that they were already on. So yeah, two camps. One, you fully understand with a revenue and earnings growth aspect hitting them. The other one, yep, boy, you could have made a lot of money. And that's where we hear that a lot of the Robin Hood, and it's been labeled the millennials. I don't know the statistics if it's all millennials on the Robin Hood app or not, but that's an area that they have been trading in a lot. And good for them that they've made a lot of money. The only caution I would give is be cautious. At some point in time in the future, fundamentals will drive that stock price, not just simply a reopening of the economy, even if the fundamentals don't filter into that particular company or that particular sector.
Folks, stocks always move on expectations, and then they adjust on results, and then only to move forward on more expectations. So to Rod's point, you know, everything that I've had scheduled for this year has been canceled. I have no travel plans in place at this point. That and later on the show, I'm going to talk about my thoughts on where we are today, which is going to be somewhat on that topic. But I'm with you, Rod. I mean, I think that the market is definitely pricing in some pretty positive things. And what we're seeing right now, and we see it every week. It's like, okay, this week, like let's look at last week as an example. Last week versus this week. So we began last week kind of overlooking the jump in COVID-19 cases in some early reopening states. That sent the stocks roaring. The NASDAQ closed above 10,000. In fact, I think it had two successive days that it established a new record. But then all of a sudden, the market quickly reversed, of course, as it reacted to data showing a troubling spike in more than just a few areas, so more nationwide. And then you look at Thursday, they opened lower, but then they rallied late in the day on apparent good news, and then on Friday, resumed their decline after Texas, I think, and Florida were rolling back some of their reopening plans. So this is a very fluid situation when it comes to the equity market. But I think the key here is, folks, and Rod will comment on this, own quality. Own quality. And as an asset manager, that's what we focused on. Most mutual funds are focused on that. And there are times where it's fine to be a passive investor. What I mean by passive, own the index, right? Just own the index, let it rip and roar, and it's fine. But there's times in our history, many times, where you need to be with an active manager. Hot Rod, this is an active manager time. I'll put my stake in the ground on that one.
Yeah, most certainly is, because you look at the S&P 500, obviously that's the predominant index that people follow and invest in. The Dow Jones obviously is followed heavily, but I don't think the Dow ETFs probably have as many dollars that flow into them as the different S&P 500 ones. And yeah, within the S&P 500, guess what? You're owning the good and the bad. So in some years where the economy is doing well all the way across the board, it's fine to sit back and own that broad index and say, you know what? I don't have to pick which sector is doing best right now. They're all doing well, and I'm going to get a piece of the ones that are doing well and the ones that are doing great. But I most certainly think we are in an environment where moving forward, not all sectors will be created equal. There will be a divergence from an earnings and a revenue growth perspective for some of them. And if you just own a broad index, guess what? You don't get to selectively choose being in the sectors that have the best growth opportunities versus the ones that don't. You own it all. Now, as we've talked about, especially with some of our smaller portfolios and starting out, we are a big believer of combining the active management with the broad sector exposure to minimize that. But that's also because it's smaller accounts. It's harder to get the positions we want and really deploy within enough sectors that we think have the growth to feel comfortable with the diversification for that. But once the asset size gets large enough and we can own a broader swath of the sectors we like and more companies within them, then that's when we start to back a little bit away from owning so much exposure just to the broad ETF, broad sectors when we go forward, and especially in an environment like this where there most certainly is going to be a difference between that revenue and earnings growth going forward.
Yep, you can diversify yourself right out of any significant return. One last thing before we take a break, and I'm going to have you stick around for one more segment. The consumer. You know, we've talked about being laser focused on the consumer, what they're doing, what they're spending money on. Somewhat of a surprise, I think, in consumer spending and consumer sentiment last week, which was a good thing, I think.
Yeah, most certainly was. Early on, when that first round of stimulus checks went out, Dave, what you were hearing and talking to different bank executives was those checks came into the checking accounts and those checks stayed in the checking account.
Right.
So they weren't initially being spent. Well, that has changed because we have been surprised and we have had estimates, or I shouldn't say estimates, we have beat estimates with economic data that has come out in which consumer spending has actually picked its pace up a little bit more than what was anticipated. And then here we are on a jobs day. ADP came out earlier this week, yesterday, jobs today, because the market and everything is closed on Friday. Strong jobs number, better than anticipated, 4.8 million. Unemployment estimated to be at around 12.5, came in down in 11 and some change. So those things were looking better. I also think, and I haven't dug into all of those numbers, I just saw the headlines, but I also think income increased more than anticipated, which was kind of an unusual stat given the fact that right now unemployment is so high, you wouldn't have thought that that would have drove income up. Because there wasn't a huge demand. There's plenty of workers looking for work out there. But obviously, more income in the consumer's pocket, more dollars to be consumed, and the consumer most certainly seems to be consuming, even if he's doing it in a different pattern by not necessarily going into the store to consume it. He may be doing it online. He may be doing it via a click list and those types of options. But whatever they're using to do their consumption, they seem to be consuming. And we are a consumption-driven economy.
Well, and last night, I meet a guy at my house that does outdoor lighting, and he did a few things for me, and I'm like, that's really cool. And he's like, I'm going to come back out and do some more stuff. And I was talking with him, and he's that's a really good indication for me, because he's like, you know, what I found is that people that have stability in their jobs or stability in their situation are looking for things to spend money on, because they're not traveling and they're not eating out and they're not doing the things that they always spend money on. So he said for about 3 or 4 weeks, he was really concerned. And all of a sudden, he has more work than he can handle. And that's the case. I mean, people that are, you know, have stability and have money, which is a lot of people, are just like, what can I do? You know, what can I spend money on? So instead of me spending money on a trip to Destin this year, Hot Rod, which would have probably cost me $5,000 minimally, I'm spending, which would have lasted 1 week and whatever, I'm spending $5,000 on outdoor lighting, which will last me my lifetime. So, you know, that's a good way to look at it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there was a Wall Street Journal article in Saturday's paper, which I get at home, about 6 months that shook the world. Now, I'm going to back that down and say 5 months that shook the world. But nonetheless, 6 months, and just go through a reminder of some of the things we've been through in the last 5 or 6 months. It's really unbelievable when you sit back and think about it. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Rod Holloway joins me on the phone. We are recording this a few hours early on Thursday just because, you know, we're going into the 4th of July weekend. And I know, Hot Rod, you've got some plans to hang around some of the friends who you've been hanging around and enjoy some cookouts and things like that. We're doing the exact same thing with our annual fireworks display. I put on Facebook last night a picture of my fireworks. And it's a pretty impressive display. And, so we're saying our friends and family are going to come over, and other people will be hanging out in their cars or whatever, but I have plenty of room. People can space out, and we'll stay within the guidelines and rules and do whatever we can to keep people happy and healthy and safe. But, man, Rod, when you look back at the last 5-6 months, I mean, I did a lot of reflection on things. And in the Wall Street Journal, they had, you know, the 6 months that shook the world, the global pandemic, widespread unemployment, nationwide protests, a roller coaster stock market, really created some of the most crazy times in recent memory. I mean, we've never been through anything like this. 81%, like you said, decline in travel. 72% drop in the number of oil rigs drilling for oil in the U.S. And I talked about this for my fishing trip that I took. We were out by the rigs, and you've heard me tell this story, but there's lots of rigs, and they're pretty close by to each other, and they were dead. I mean, they had lights on, but there were no activity, no people, no nothing, except for one. I saw one poor old guy out there pacing on top, I'm sure wishing he was home, but that's an incredible thing. 48% increase in Chapter 11 bankruptcy filings at the corporate level compared with May of last year. 140,000 businesses listed on Yelp that they are closed for good. 19.1 million decline in payroll jobs in May of 2020, which we've talked about some of that compared with December of 19. 30% increase, let's see what this says. That was not important to report on. But just a lot's happened. I mean, it's crazy. And like I said, federal stimulus at a record level. I mean, I have a statistic here. I mean, it's just more just head shaking than anything else. It says here that with the CARES Act, President Trump signed a $2.3 trillion CARES Act. That included $301 billion of direct payments to individuals. That's a lot of money. $349 billion in loans or grants for small business. That's like the PPP. $454 billion given to the Treasury Department to backstop $4.5 trillion of federal loans to big businesses. When you look at the amount of money that was spent in the four-week period, that's more, twice as much, I think, than was spent during the entire 08 financial crisis. I mean, this has been something like nothing other. You know, we've never been here before. And that's what I keep telling people. Listen, we have never been here before. I've never seen a 10-year Treasury at 0.6%. I've never seen interest rate. I've never seen this before. All we know is what we know. And one of the narratives, Rod, that I've been talking a lot about, as you well know, is higher taxes. You know, at some point with $24, $25, $26 trillion in debt, adding another $3 trillion this year, we already priced in $1 trillion of debt. It's projected in the next 5 years that we could be $35 trillion in debt easily. We have $24, $25 trillion sitting in IRA accounts that have never been taxed before, only $865 billion in Roth. At some point, someone has to pay the bill. Now, my question has always been, how do they get revenues? How do we get revenues? How do we control spending? Well, when you know, like 90% now of your spending is darn near non-discretionary. I mean, you're spending on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, interest on the debt. You throw military spending on top of that. It's just all the spending on top of that. It's just like stimulus after stimulus after stimulus, more money. Someone has to pay for it. Why think about taxes, right? That's the only way for them to raise taxes. We started collecting tax payments in 1913. It was a pretty meager amount, 7%, and very few people actually ever collected that. But by the time we got into the 40s, the top marginal rate was up in the 90% range. In the 70s, it was the 70% range, but the lowest brackets were in the 10 and 20% range. Someone's going to pay for it. Now, does that mean payroll taxes are going up? Like I said last week, probably they will. They will. I mean, how are you going to pay for Medicare? How are you going to pay for Social Security? Payroll taxes. Is there a national gas tax that could be slapped on? Sure, there could be. You could throw a quarter or 50 cents on right now, and probably people would not notice that much. Is there a VAT tax, wealth tax, you name it tax? But the only thing that we can control, me and you and Rod and everyone else that has 401ks and retirement accounts, The only thing we can control is the taxes on your retirement account. That's it. So, Rod, when you look at the last 5 to 6 months and you look at the pandemic and unemployment, protests, roller coaster market, and all the things I mentioned before, I think that, I know you're not a tax guy, but I'm going to throw you into the mix here. I worry about this for Ty and Kinsey and William and the chief and Parker and these are all the kids of our office, our kids. I worry about what's. I mean, they're gonna be saddled with some kind of responsibility, and probably we will too. I mean, we still have 20 years or so left in our careers. I hope at some point someone has to pay the bill, and I just don't really know what to tell people. You know, except that I only know one thing, and that's I can help you get out of the crosshairs of higher taxes on your retirement account. I can't control everything else. I have no control. No, none of us have any control over anything else. And I know that worries you too, Rod.
Yeah, most certainly does, especially because one of the things that concerns me the most out of this is, obviously, historically, we have always run with a deficit, and at times that deficit has gotten fairly large. But during economic boom and growth periods, we have typically brought that down. Well, we are in a long-term economic boom and growth period before this virus hit, and the deficit continued to grow. So we didn't shrink the deficit off of growth, which is what we have normally done in the past. Then we get hit with a black swan event of the virus, which then forces us to increase the debt enormously. I agree with what they have done, and those were steps that were needed to save the small business, to save the individual consumer. But you know what? There comes a real recession. And what I mean by real recession is not a self-induced one that we went into this time that we will probably come out of much easier than past recessions, or as I called it, a real recession. Not that it doesn't feel real for the people who are on unemployment, because it most certainly is. But this differentiating between an 08 recession or a 2000 recession and the one that we had right here that was self-made by shutting things down, there comes a real one in the future, and more than likely we don't put a huge dent in the deficit, especially knowing that we're going to continue to add to it. We're not done providing assistance and help to people. We have another package that is getting ready to come,
and it's going to pass, and something will pass.
I know there's been
something's going to pass, and then they're going to the infrastructure bill is going to pass. That's another $1 trillion. I mean,
exactly, and that was the other place that I was going, is the infrastructure. Now I hope what they do with the infrastructure, I hope they do it right, because if you're going to put us in the future of our children in this type of debt, then by golly, fix the infrastructure and fix it right for the future and for the long term. So have a vision and look out as to where the economy is headed technologically. Don't just put a Band-Aid on some of these bridges and roads and schools. Fix them the proper way, really generate some jobs, and improve the infrastructure for the long period of time. We know past infrastructure bills get passed as if they're an infrastructure bill, but when you actually open the hood and you look inside that engine compartment, what you find out is that only a small percent went to real infrastructure. The rest of it went to pet projects or social programs, which are important. They're just not infrastructure.
Well, and I mean, even the CARES Act and other things had a bunch of crap in there, too. But the thing I was most discouraged about, and I understood having Todd Young on the show and having Trey on the show, they wanted to get it out and get it out quick. I mean, they allowed us to get a PPP loan. We didn't need it. They allowed our clients who are retired to get a stimulus check. They didn't need it. They wasted a lot of money. You know, they just wasted a lot of money. And to your point, I hope in the next stimulus round, if money goes out, it goes to the people who need it the most, and that it does not create this false sense of security that we're always going to be bailed out, because there is an element of risk that is associated with life. There's an association with investments. Risk is, and when you take that away, that risk, that's when things get kind of dangerous. So I'm just saying that to people, listen, I don't know the answer. I know right now that America is still looked at as the strongest place to be, and that's because everyone else is in such a crazy mess. Why is the dollar so strong? It makes no sense until you look around the world and think, well, now I understand. That's like Rod having two broken legs and trying to play basketball, but you look at me and I have two broken arms and two broken legs, and Rod's still going to be better than me. I mean, that's the way that it is. But my point is, and this is not political. I mean, it's not political because, as Rod mentioned, we've been running deficits. I mean, we had a balanced budget, I believe, sometime during the Clinton administration, right at the end of the big run, right? But then we've run deficits.
Yep.
You know, so this isn't blaming Obama. This isn't blaming Trump. I mean, Trump, I mean, golly, I mean, he's never avoided a piece of debt in his life, right? Personally, so doesn't seem to be part of the narrative right now. But I'm telling you right now, when you have people like David Walker, former comptroller of the United States, when you have Powell starting to talk about it a little bit, it's going to become an issue. And all I'm saying to our people is, listen, you have put money away in so have many people in tax deferred accounts, saying I will pay the tax later on that money. And I'm afraid that debt on your retirement account is going to be so big that you're going to need so much more money to have a successful retirement. And all you have to do is recognize that under the current tax law, which sunsets at the end of 2025, you know exactly what that bill is, what that loan is, mortgage, whatever you want to call it, against your IRA, your 401k. Address it right now. Address it and have a plan, a coordinated plan, to move money from taxable later to tax-free forever. And that's what we call the Roth conversion. We have put together a proprietary process called the ECC to help people do this. It's called Evaluate, right? That's the first step of it. You have to evaluate. And then the Calculate and Convert. It's an easy three-step process, the ECC. So, Rod, I appreciate you as always. I know we could talk about this stuff forever, but we always have time. We've got, 8-10 hours a day at the office to talk about this stuff. So why vent it all while we're on the air?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And I think I'd just like to add to your point. That's a great point. And what you're saying is the IRA is a place that they may come after more tax dollars in the future, because income taxes alone or taxing the wealthy alone will not solve the deficit problem we are building.
That's right. All right. So just do something about it. The ECC, Evaluate, Calculate, Convert. Pretty easy three-step proprietary process. We've created it, and we're doing it. All right, Rod, I'll talk to you later, man. Have a great 4th.
Sounds good. Have a great show, Dave.
All right, see ya. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Fed and the creation of money during this pandemic, how it actually works. It's this kind of stuff blows your mind. I'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes on this fired up 4th of July edition. I love it, man. I you know what? I was telling someone the other day, no one even cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And this is something I care a lot about. And I also think that people don't care what you do until they understand why you do it. And I'm excited that I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of young people on a continuous basis, talking about trying to find your purpose and your passion. And it's hard, when you're young, it might just be like simple, like I want to make money. Okay, well, why do you want to make money? I mean, but you don't know until you're older and you reflect back on everything that's happened in your life and why you did or are doing what you're doing. So for me to be at this place, at this moment, at this radio station, I am grateful as heck that I have a platform to talk and to educate and to inspire to do the right thing, period. Now, this was interesting to me, and I didn't wear my glasses today, so I'm going to be struggling a little bit, but I'll get through it. So I have a friend, Mick Higley. He's been on the show a few times. He writes something called By the Numbers, and for a couple hundred bucks a year, you can get it, and he'll send it to you every single Monday. And it's good, and that's where I get a lot of my News of the Week items from, is from Mick. But he sent out a By the Numbers, a special edition, the Fed's creation of money during a pandemic. And I thought I'd just kind of go through a few of these things and we could talk about them, because I just think they're fascinating. I mean, he goes through the shutting down of the economy and how retail sales in the country declined by 22%. But in real money, that's $413 billion. That's crazy, from February. Massive job losses, first-time applications for unemployment benefits for the last 3 months ended up somewhere around 47.2 million, more than 15 times the number of first-time applicants of jobless benefits filed 3 months before. How quick the response was when Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve launched eight lending facilities to provide more than $2 trillion of loans to distressed corporations, municipalities, states, investors, blah, blah, blah. And that CARES Act I talked about, I mean, just blowing money out, $2.3 trillion out, man. the Fed started buying assets. They took $3.5 trillion. And we've been through what a trillion is, right? We've been through if a dollar equaled a second, then 1 trillion would equal 32,000 years. You know, so we've been through this. On 60 Minutes, Fed Chairman Powell back in May was asked, where does the money come from? Like, he says, well, we actually print it digitally. What's that mean? So as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally, and that actually increases the money supply. This is what he says. So the money used by the Federal Reserve in its lending programs and asset buying programs were digitally created by the Fed. So the Fed does not technically print money, although it does have a printing press, but it rather creates money with the press of a button on a keyboard. The Fed is forecasted to create $5 trillion of newfound money between March 2020 and December of this year. That's just, boom, money out of thin air. So more money should weaken the dollar, but the dollar is measured against other currencies, and it's remained very, very strong. That's why if it's strong, you want to take it abroad. If it's weak, you keep it home. I always think about it that way. Logically speaking, if it's strong, think about like a strong military, you go. If it's weak, you stay home. So that's kind of like a dollar. And then the idea of money multiplying. You know, if I spend $10 at the restaurant, I'm going to guess $2 or $3 goes to food expenses, maybe $2 or $3 goes to employees, and then maybe a couple bucks stays in my pocket, and then I pay some tax, and I might save a little bit. Well, the tax money and the money saved is dead money. But the money that I spend, re-spend. So you have this idea of money multiplying. So $1 in the system can actually multiply through, you know, 7, 8, 10 times, and that's called the money multiplier. So the more money that they flood into the market, technically, theoretically, is really worth like, you know, 7, 8, 9 times that. That's called the money multiplier effect. That's basic economics. So that's how it works. They just create it out of thin air. Now, how they reel it back in, that's another whole other discussion. So you loosen money and you tighten money, and that's what the Federal Reserve does. The unfortunate part is they've been mandated to do a lot of things that they're not really capable of doing. I mean, I think a few years ago, they were mandated to try to keep unemployment under a certain amount. I mean, there's things they just can't do. So anyway, that is the Fed's creation of money during a pandemic. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about my thoughts on where we are today. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I always think about demand, right? Let's say that you have 0% financing for a car. Does that mean you ran out and buy a car because 0% financing? No, you can't create demand. If I don't want a new car, I don't want a new car. I mean, if I don't want to go to the restaurant, I'm not going to go to the restaurant. I'm not going to travel. Even if you said airline tickets were $100 round trip to Orlando right now, I'm not going to Orlando. I have no reason. I don't feel like going to Orlando. I can afford to travel. I can book a trip, but I just don't have a desire to go. And I don't really know why. I'm kind of becoming somewhat content about having time at home and the time I'm spending with my dog and the time I'm... tonight, my sister's coming over to bring her puppy, and their puppies are going to play together. I'm going to cook some burgers on the grill, and I haven't seen her for a while. And, you know, I would have never in a million years a year ago had the time to do that because my evenings were consumed with conferences I was attending. It was consumed with board meetings or client events or whatever, you know, an education thing in Ivy Tech, whatever. But now I'm able to do that. And that's what concerns me, is the mindset of Americans. GDP is GDP. And you have two types of spending. You have discretionary, which is I choose to do this. And then you have non-discretionary, which is stuff like my food, my clothing, my shelter, my gas, my utilities, you know, kids' stuff. That's non-discretionary. The discretionary spending is really what drives everything. I don't know the exact percentages. I was trying to look it up and couldn't find some good, reliable data. I don't just Google stuff, folks. I get to the real sources on things. But, you know, it's about 30 to 40%, maybe even more of your spending is actually considered discretionary. And I would argue possibly even more than that. And that's what drives GDP. 70% of our economy is based on consumer spending. And folks, I personally, my thoughts on where we are today is I'm just not seeing it happen. Because when I'm not doing it, then I'm assuming other people aren't either. And it's not because I'm scared of anything. It's just I've become somewhat content. Like I said, I feel like we're living like the Amish now. And I love the Amish. I see them down at West Boggs Park, and they live a very simple but humble and enjoyable and contentment, right? So this is what it feels like to be Amish, I guess. Maybe more Mennonite. I don't really know. But I'm fine with that. But that's what worries me about the economy, is that if it's driven by consumer spending, and I'm feeling this way, I'm sure many, many other people are feeling that this way. Probably many of you listening are feeling this way. And that's what drives economic activity. So if that continues to lag and slow down, I just don't see this thing going anywhere anytime fast. So like we talked about with Rod, make sure that you are wisely positioned in your investments. Control the things you can control, your savings, right, your debt, your taxes on future retirement distributions. Those are the things you can control. Focus on those, laser focus. Do I think we'll return to the way we acted before? I do, because I do want to go to Europe next year, which is I'm scheduled to go. I do want to go back to Destin. I want to go do these things, but I just don't have it in my belly right now, and I don't know why. All right, that's my thoughts on where we are today. I'll come back, wrap up the show. It's Your Money with Dave Hayes. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed today's program. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. I know it's going to be a hot one. I keep hearing Glass tell me it's going to be a hot one, so I have to believe him. Who else do you believe, right? Mike Glass, God, he's the most believable guy I know in the room. He'll be on, of course, this is Thursday night, so he will not be on Friday. He'll be back on Monday, but you can catch this show in its entirety again on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., which is 4th of July weekend. And then always on WGCORadio.com. You can go over to iTunes, right? Subscribe to be a podcast listener, and Google Play as well. And we are on the cusp. I think next month we're going to launch a new podcast series that's totally unrelated to Your Money with David Hayes. We're going to have just a fun podcast full of information, full of different characters. It's going to be fun, but we haven't quite put the bow on that yet. We'll get there. We'll get there. So keep running at the dog, folks. That's the key, man. Don't run from it. Run at it, and we're going to get through this. And I'm excited, man, about the second half of the year. You know, am I concerned that, like I said before, about certain things? Sure. But we'll see. I mean, I'm really excited about the second half of the year, and I hope you are too. So enjoy the heck out of this weekend. Hopefully you're getting together with friends and family and to have some fun. I know I am, and we'll talk to you next week. Hope you have a great 4th of July. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.